Good morning, and welcome to service this morning. I'm glad to see everyone here, even though it's raining out and it's just pouring, but I'm glad to see everyone here. Sue Marshall has an announcement she'd like to make about the Canada Day celebrations.
Hello. So this is the clipboard for the Canada Day sign up. A lot of people have already signed up, but if you haven't already, the barbecue is next Sunday, a week today, and hopefully we have a lot better weather than today. We're supposed to. So I live on Paget Place, which is the street just north of here. So you can park on my court, but it's a very small court. It's only 12 houses. Our driveway with Brittany and Brennan and Sean, everybody has a car. Our driveway's usually full, but you can park on the street. But the other thing you could do is park here at the church and just either walk around. Now, we do have an entrance to our back gate. I come out that gate, but I don't go back in because it's not the easiest thing to do. We have a little stool there, and you can pull yourself up, but it's not the easiest thing to do. So you can always drive around. Maybe we could get a little shuttle going back and forth. People need help. So anyways, just a reminder, if you haven't already to sign up, you can sign up for an appetizer, a salad, or a dessert. Remember to bring a chair. We don't have enough chairs. The higher the better to sit at. We're going to be bringing over the card tables from here. So that would be great. And bring your own beverage as well. And it's $5 per adult for the burgers or the sausages, which you can let me know about. Just notice Pat doesn't have a checkbox here for either burgers or sausages. Not sure how she knows how much to buy of each. But anyways, what was that? if you want to pay me today, you can, or you can just pay next Sunday to Pat. Okay, thank you.
And if you have any further questions, please consult the bulletin. Whether your faith is strong or weak, whether you come from another faith community or not, we are glad that you have come today. Please sign the registry book at the back of the sanctuary and join us for refreshments following service.
Each and every day, we recognize ourselves as people of God, people who serve God, love God, as Christians through Jesus the Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God together as we celebrate our opening hymn of mercy, worship this morning. Today, as always, we take a bit of time to celebrate and to share concerns of people within the congregation and the larger community as well. There are a couple of things that I wanted to celebrate, first of all, today. This is the season of graduations, and within the Cain family, there have been two graduations. Annabelle, the younger of the Cain sisters, graduated from grade 8 this past Wednesday evening, I believe. And she also won two awards, the Scholastic Award, in which she got 98%. I don't remember ever getting 98%. Actually, in grade 8, maybe if you added all of my marks together, you would get 98%. But she got 98% average, which is really quite incredible. And secondly, she also won the Musical Award for her trumpet playing. Now, did anybody even know that Annabelle played the trumpet? Well, we need to, and the next time we're here, we're going to all encourage her to play the trumpet sometime, Rashad, so that's wonderful. And then also her older sister, Emma, is graduated from grade 12 this coming Wednesday, I believe it is. So we celebrate with the Cain family. Also, some people who are celebrating graduation from university, and so Chris Watson's son just graduated from university this past week on Wednesday, so congratulations to him. And I thought there was somebody else who graduated from university recently. Anybody else know? Yes, your youngest daughter graduated from university. A granddaughter, that's right, graduated from McMaster. Helen, what? Wonderful. At McMaster, yes. So congratulations as well. Any other celebrations? Yes. Oh, fantastic. Erica, that's wonderful. Degree in medicine. Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. Congratulations, Erica. That's fantastic. Any other graduation celebrations? You're not graduating. Any other celebrations? You certainly can.
I want to welcome Krista and Scott visiting us today. Apparently, they're going to be celebrating Father's Day, a belated Father's Day. Unfortunately, you won't have a picnic in the park, but it's good to see you and the family. The session just had our final, for the summer, we had our session social, and Marty and Barb hosted it, and thank you so much for that. We went around the room. We're sitting around just having a chit-chat, and Marty asked to share what celebrations that we have as a church family. And the one thing I think people are just kind of afraid to say because they don't want him to get a big head, but I think the greatest gift we got from God is Marty. And I think we celebrate him, and thank you so much, Marty, for your ministry and your love and your care and concern. And also, we have a celebration of a birthday coming up this Friday. It's Marty's birthday, so Rashad, may we? Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May God's richest blessings be always with you.
Congratulations, Marty.
I was wondering who I had forgotten. It's my birthday, to tell you the truth. Yeah, yeah. But thank you. I'm going to be 29, all over again, just like the rest of you, just like the rest of you. There are, again, there are a few concerns that I'd like to share with you as well. Sue Tate continues to be in hospital, and not exactly sure what she's struggling with. Some of the things that she had gone into the hospital for have been addressed, but our thoughts and prayers are with her. Norma Gibbons has been in the hospital for the last 2 weeks. We just found out about that on Friday, and so a number of people, including Chris and Sylvia and myself, have been to visit her. And if you're able to, she always enjoys seeing people from the church. She's at Markham Stouffville Hospital, so our thoughts and prayers are with her as well. Marion Ballard is having a bit of a tough time, so I'd encourage you to keep her in your thoughts and prayers. And any of you who are able to visit her, that would be greatly appreciated as well. Is there anybody else that I am missing? Okay. Any other celebrations, concerns? Let us turn to God in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Tender and delightful God, we come before you to celebrate who you are, and also to celebrate that you are the God of all people, and that your love and your care, your forgiveness and your grace, your presence, is for all people everywhere. And we thank you for Jesus the Christ, who teaches us to follow your way. Jesus, who for us as Christians is a personification, an incarnation of your love and your care. And we thank you for his way of healing and comfort, his way of equality and justice, his call to live in peace and in harmony one to the other. We also celebrate your first incarnation, creation all around us that sings your praise. And we thank you for your Spirit, which strengthens our hearts and our hands to build a world, a kingdom that you have envisioned for all of humanity. We also confess, gracious God, that there are things that we do that don't follow through with that promise to build your kingdom. Sometimes, gracious God, we think more of ourselves than others. Sometimes we focus on things that break us apart instead of things that build us together. And so we confess that there are things that we do that make us uncomfortable. Sometimes we reject and belittle those who are different than we are. Sometimes we are blind to the ways that we benefit from a legacy of hurt against Indigenous peoples here in Canada. And too often, gracious God, we love imperfectly, we speak harshly, and we judge quickly. Forgive us. Forgive us, gracious God. Call us to gentleness, to compassion, to a radical acceptance of difference. In Jesus Christ, we are learning to walk in new ways with new companions. We are learning to surrender the need to justify, to explain, and to fix. We are learning to listen. And when creation groans, we groan as well in the power of your Spirit. When your people speak out against injustice, we honor their courage and we stand with them. Spirit of God, create in us feeling hearts, clear eyes, and open minds. These things we pray in Christ's name, who taught us to say as we sing together. Once again, hear and believe this good news that we need to hear, to be reminded of day after day, week after week, and that is that God loves us. And God loves not only us, God loves all people. And in God's reconciling love, we find our purpose and our identity as God's own people. So go from this place to recognize that God's love includes each and every one of you and all people in this world, and go from this place to live that out in all that you do. These things we pray and celebrate in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we're delighted to have the choir with us. This is their last service before the summer break, and so we have a bit of a reunion of sorts. So Vicky is back in the choir, and so we're delighted to see that. Ian, the big tall guy at the back, who has this beautiful voice as well, is back with us, and we're trying to encourage them. We're negotiating a deal where we can have them come more often, and Ian has asked how much are we going to pay. So I think the amount that we're going to pay to Ian is just endless support. If he comes, we will say, Ian, it's great to have you here. Is that agreed? Yes, that's right, that's right. So they're going to be singing for us this morning, and we celebrate their ministry of music.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorite songs that all of you sing, and so I really appreciate that. Rashad, thank you for all of your hard work the year through. You do an excellent job with us, providing the music, teaching the choir, and performing in such a beautiful way. Thank you very, very much. Let us now continue to worship God in the singing of our children's hymn, and as this song is being sung, we'd invite the children who are present to come forward for a children's story.
Know you too? I do. You're Keegan, aren't you? Are you Keegan? You're going to say hi to everybody? Aiden. Hello, little guy. You going to come over here and see Papa? You know what I've done? I've hidden some cookies around the church. I have. Do you think you can find those cookies? Do you think
yeah.
you can find the cookies?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Okay. I'll tell you what. Whatever you find, you can eat. Do you think so? Aiden, you going to try that? Whatever you find, you can eat. You ready? Grace, do you want to help them? Where is Grace? Grace, can you help them? Where did Grace go? Come on, Grace. Can you help them? Because they might need a little bit of help, okay? On your mark, get set, go, 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 go. Where might they be? I think, no. Oh, my goodness. I was so careful to make sure there was only four. But I didn't say that they had to be in the sanctuary, did I? Oh, did you find one? Wow. Now they're going to come back with great big huge plates of cookies. Now how am I going to do this? Okay. Can somebody bring them back? Let's find another one. Let's find another one. Can you find another one? Oh, there's another one. Okay, over here, up at the front. Keegan, up at the front. Grace, there's a couple more up at the front. Okay, you see if you can find them. They're up at the front. Okay, take a look. Take a look. Keep going. Keep going. Warmer, 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 warmer. Come on. Come on. Really hot, Keegan. Come on. Can you find them? Whoa. Oh, there's one. This way. Keegan, this way. Keegan, this way. Okay, go up now, up the stairs, up the stairs. Is there one there? Yay! Okay, come on back, come on back. Aiden, did you start eating yours already? No, wow, look at this. That is fantastic. Did you know, come back over here, did you know that there was a man who did a study about children and cookies and fruit. And in North America, when they did this thing about you can go and actually take and eat whatever you want, you know what the children did? They grabbed all the cookies, and as soon as they found them, they ate as much as they wanted. And in Africa, in a little community in South Africa, they did the same thing with children. And you know what the children there did? They didn't eat any of the cookies. They brought them all to the front, just like you guys did. And then they shared them with everybody else. And I think it's pretty incredible that that's what you did, right? So now let me see now. There are 1, 2, 3 of you, and there are 4 cookies. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Are we going to break the 4th cookie? Or are we going to give the 4th cookie to Mummy? You think so? Okay. Well, who wants to have one of these cookies? Because they're yummy, yummy, yummy. No? Nobody wants a cookie? Oh, you've got gum in your mouth, so you don't need a cookie. Can Papa eat them all then? Yeah. No? Well, who else can eat them? You guys don't want... Grace, do you want a cookie? Do you know anybody else who might want a cookie, Grace? No? Keegan, do you know anybody else who might want a cookie? Your dad. Why don't you go give one to your dad then, okay? You think he'll take a dad? Is he a cookie monster? Yeah, so you give one to your dad. Aiden, is there anybody else who you think would want a cookie? Do you want to have one yourself? No? Wow, did dad like that one? He's starting to eat it. That's great. Well, you know what? Papa would like to have one. Can I have one?
You can have all 3.
You guys don't like cookies? Oh, my goodness. Only chocolate chips, I see. One of the things about church is that Jesus, who we celebrate, teaches us to share. There's a prayer that Jesus taught us. It goes, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Not give me the cookies that I want, but give us this day our daily bread. We're called to share and to truly work towards a time where everybody has something that they need every day. Let's have a prayer about that, okay? Dear God, we thank you for cookies. We thank you that they're yummy, and we thank you that they are something that we can share with everybody, not just ourselves. Gracious God, help us to work towards a world where that is possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you don't want a cookie, you can take it and give it to somebody that you think might want one. Want to do that? Grace, you want to give one to somebody? Okay. Who are you going to give it to? You can take 2 if you want. Okay, no? Aiden, who are you going to give that to? Oh, to Mommy. There we go. Okay. And can Papa have this one then? Okay, Papa's going to have it. Okay. Danielle is going to work with you today. So you guys can head out with Danielle, okay? So our scripture reading this morning is actually the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to explore that a little bit, actually from an indigenous perspective. Indigenous people here in North America know something intuitively about sharing that we actually didn't know they knew. And in some ways, it's a radical concept of sharing that at its very heart is also at the heart of Jesus. And so we're going to explore that a little bit. But I think it is Lynn who's going to read Matthew 6, 9-14, which is the Lord's Prayer.
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is God's message of hope.
I'd like you to imagine for a moment that person in your life, when he or she speaks, you truly listen. Just imagine who that is. Someone perhaps in your past, could be a politician, it could be a teacher, it could be a parent, it could be a friend, it could be a neighbor, it could be someone far away. But when that person speaks, you truly stand up and your senses become alive because when that person speaks, you know that that person has something to say. Have you got that person in mind? I'm going to introduce you to the face of another person, a person that each Sunday we think about, a person that we try to emulate, try to follow. We try to follow in the way of this person. And this person, named Jesus, is a person that we may not, if we actually saw him, we may not recognize. You see, Jesus, who we celebrate, was not white. He wasn't even a Christian. Jesus, who we celebrate, was a Jew living a Jewish life. He was a poor Jewish baby born in the midst of a scandal. He was a poor outsider from Nazareth. He was a Palestinian Jew. Do you remember the early reactions about Jesus when he came onto the stage and people began to start talking about him? The church, that is, people like you and I, literally said, "What good can come out of Nazareth? It's impossible. He doesn't look right. He doesn't have the right credentials. He's not the kind of person in society that would command attention. He probably doesn't look at all like the people that you had imagined." His mother was shamed, his father disappointed. As a family, he was forced to go to Bethlehem with his parents to be assessed for taxes. We've turned this all into an incredible Hallmark moment, but it wasn't a Hallmark moment. It was a very, very difficult time, a time of incredible challenge. His family actually had to escape Bethlehem, flee to Egypt from the wrath of Herod. And we need to remember that Jesus, actually, his skin tone was brown enough in order to go undercover in Egypt. He was not the white little baby of our manger scenes. He was a multi-ethnic child. He was born under Roman occupation, born in very desperate times. And this little multi-ethnic child, who literally would have been seen as a nobody, not only in his own time, but also in our time today, he would be seen as a nobody, is the one who prayed this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father. Not my Father, but our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me what I need to survive. Not give me and my people what we need to survive. But give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day everything that we need to survive. Community in this Lord's Prayer trumps individualism. It was, and it continues to be today, a very revolutionary concept. The image that Jesus portrays in heaven is a place where everyone has food, everyone has education, everyone has health care, everyone has safety, security, everyone has a roof over their heads. And Jesus prays, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So there's no waiting in Jesus' prayer for the next life, in terms of thinking that it really doesn't matter what happens here and now because we will all get our reward in the next life. No, in Jesus' prayer, that is recognized as escapism. We can't handle the difficulties and challenges of today's society, and so we will suspend all of that and wait till we get our reward in heaven. That is shirking our responsibility. It is a caricature of the gospel. It is a caricature of Jesus' teachings. It is a caricature of the way of Jesus. Jesus invites us into the work of God here and now in this community and beyond. And that's as true for food as it is for any of the other needs that people have around the world. Satish Kumar, any of you know Satish Kumar? He's an author and an editor of the book Resurgence, and it's based out of England. And he says that the only species on earth that has turned food into a commodity, that is to say, something that we buy and sell, something that is to be priced so that some can afford it and some can't, the only species on earth to do that is human beings. We're the only ones. Satish Kumar envisions a world where there is incredible reverence not only for nature, but for all of God's human beings. And he insists that that reverence for nature and for all of God's human beings be at the heart of every political and social debate. And of course, he's criticized roundly. He said, he's told over and over again that he is unrealistic, that it is impossible, that his vision is unattainable. And perhaps that's what we would say about Jesus' prayer as well. Give us this day our daily bread. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what Satish Kumar says to his critics. He says this, look at what the realists have done for us. They have led us to war and climate change, poverty on an unimaginable scale, wholesale ecological destruction. Half of humanity goes to bed hungry because of all the realistic leaders in the world. I tell people, he says, who call me unrealistic, to show me what their realism has done. Realism is an outdated, overplayed, and wholly exaggerated concept. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is calling us into the realm of impossibility. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me, but give us. You know, there's a long way from I to we. A long, long way. But it wasn't always that way, and in some cultures, we was more important, more powerful. I remember being up in Webequay First Nations about almost 10 years ago now. And we were, the group of us who were up there, were invited to go fishing with a local fisherman whose name was John. And John was a member of the Webequay First Nations and perhaps one of the finest fishermen, if not the finest fisherman that I have ever seen. And he took us out in his little boat, and we were fishing along the Winisk River, quite a few miles away from the community. We were fishing for walleye, pickerel. And I don't know if you've ever been fishing with someone who really knows what he or she is doing, but fishing for walleye takes a certain tact, a certain skill. And John had this skill. There were about eight of us in the boat, and by himself, he caught more walleye than the rest of us combined. It was almost as if he knew exactly where the fish were and how, and he kept on pulling fish after fish into the boat. And we were all looking at him, trying to figure out what he was doing that we weren't, and we couldn't figure it out. But what was more fascinating is when we got back to the community, it was well known that John had gone fishing. And so all of the catch was laid out, and the community came to share in that bounty. I'll never forget that. It wasn't as if John decided, oh, I've done it. Where's your $2, $3, $4, $5, $10, $20 to take part? No. John, in his very core, recognized that when he fishes, the bounty of the land, the bounty of creation belongs to all of the people. I was listening to the CBC radio yesterday. Kay Salim is a 28-year-old graduate of the Simon Fraser University in BC, and he's a professor of indigenous languages. He's a very strong advocate for indigenous languages. And he was recently elected to the Bound Council of Squamish First Nations. And as he talks to elders in his community, he hears the elders saying that the young people and even some of the adults, many of the adults in the community, have lost a sense of kindness and community understanding. And he says that the elders say that people are actually mean to each other in their community, that they are actually very selfish and self-centered. And he says that it is because of the loss of language that that has occurred, because the language itself holds on to the culture. And when you learn the language, you actually are invited into the culture of community care and concern. For example, perhaps one of the words that is most well known in indigenous culture is the word miigwech. Have you heard the word miigwech? Miigwech today means thank you. But miigwech in its context does not mean thank you. It means I recognize you. It means I see you. It means I see that you are a fellow human being in relationship with me. The word thank you does not exist in indigenous cultures because it's not necessary. Because it's understood that in indigenous traditions, we share with one another, just like John. Another beautiful example of that is this treaty that governed this area years and years ago. The Mississauga Nations, New Credit, Alderville, Scugog Lake, Curve Lake, Hiawatha First Nations, all the Mississauga peoples, together with the Haudenosaunee and the Huron-Wendat, they were all part and parcel of the peoples that occupied this land. And there were skirmishes between the different groups. And so when there were skirmishes around hunting and fishing rights, the peoples gathered together to create treaties. And treaties helped them to live out this sense of sharing. And so the treaty that was part of this community, this area, was called the Dish with One Spoon Treaty. The Dish with One Spoon. It was called the Great Law of Peace, and this is what the treaty stated. "It will turn out well for us to do this, we will say. We promise to have only one dish among us. In it will be the beaver tail, and no knife will be there." The beaver tail was used as a spoon. "And no knife will be there. We will have one dish, which means that we will all have equal shares of the game roaming in the hunting grounds and fields. And then everything will become peaceful among all the people. And there will be no knife near our dish, which means that if there is a knife, some might presently get cut, causing bloodshed, and this is troublesome. Should it happen thus, and for good reason, there will be no knife near our dish." Impossible, you say? Impossible for people to truly have that kind of relationship with each other? Impossible that children might actually gather fruit or cookies together and not touch them until all of them are equally given opportunity? Impossible, you say? It is impossible if we don't consider it. The Haida people of New Zealand, the indigenous people of New Zealand, say to us that we, and that is Western thought, shows an incredible arrogance when we think that all of the problems that govern our society today will be addressed within our own lifetimes. They call us to recognize that it takes a lot of years to create change, but unless we imagine the impossible, we will never effectively move towards it. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is as unrealistic as you can get. It is impossible, people say. But maybe, just maybe, we need to think about the impossible. Maybe we need to embrace the unrealistic. Maybe, just maybe, we can hold on to this vision of Jesus. It may take another 500 years. It may take 1,000 years. But it will never happen. It will never happen until we, as God's people, begin to embrace that which we think is impossible. That which we think will never happen. To achieve the impossible, one must look at the absurd, one writer says. To look where everyone else has looked, but to see what no one else has seen. We need revolutionary thought here and now in our community and beyond. We need to move beyond the typical thought of always blaming others for the problems that we are in, or of looking for a scapegoat to blame for the struggles that we are in. We know that history, and we know where it leads us. We need different thought, thinking of the impossible. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." This vision of Jesus, this incredible, impossible, unrealistic vision of Jesus is what we need to hold on to and work towards. Because then, and only then, will we truly all be saved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join together in a hymn of response and let us sing it together loudly and boldly. Spirit of the Living God. Let us lift up our hearts to God in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine the vision that Jesus has for this world here and now. It's hard to imagine people actually changing so that they think about we instead of just me. It's hard to imagine the impact that would have on our economic status and the process and the system of a political economic world that has winners and losers. Yes, gracious God, it is hard to imagine. But help us. Help us to imagine the impossible. Help us to struggle with the unrealistic. Help us to move forward in the urgings of your Spirit, in the way of Jesus, in the power of your love. Help us to go where no one has gone before, towards a vision of a world that lives in peace and harmony. Impossible, we all say. And yet, you call us to recognize a new thing that you are doing. Impossible, we say, there's nothing that we can do, yet you imagine us, gracious God, to live that reality into being. So be with us in our daily activities. Help us, gracious God, to live out in our own way what that impossibility may be. Help us to change our attitudes towards each other, friends, neighbors, family, people who are different than us. Help us, gracious God, to see in each other and all that we connect with the face of your Son, even our Lord Jesus the Christ. In the face of indigenous peoples, gracious God, help us to see Jesus' face. In the face of those who are impoverished, help us to see Jesus' face. In the face of those who are victims of violence, help us to see Jesus' face. In the face of those who are often excluded in the church and in society, like the LGBT community, help us to see Jesus' face. In the face of those people that we don't like, gracious God, help us to see Jesus' face. In the face of those people who we don't think deserve anything, help us to see Jesus' face. And when we look in the mirror at night, gracious God, tired and frustrated with our lack of ability to do what we had thought we might be able to do, frustrated with ourselves, angry at ourselves, as we look into the mirror at night, gracious God, help us to see Jesus' face. Enable us truly, truly, gracious God, to imagine the impossible. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us now respond to the word of God and the giving of our offerings. The offerings are our opportunity to share in the love, in the grace that is God, an opportunity to share in the way that this church in particular reaches out into the community with that grace and that love. Your offerings will now be received. Gracious God, may you use these offerings, time, talent, resources, money, the gifts that we offer, the love that is in our hearts, the compassion that we share with others. May you use all of these gifts and ourselves for the building of your kingdom, for the establishment of your grace, for the reality of your kingdom come. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just a final announcement that we keep forgetting to make, and that is that starting next week, we'll go back to our summer hours, so the service will start at 10:30. That's been the tradition here for years and years, and I don't think there's any reason to stop that, so next Sunday we'll begin at 10:30 through July and August. Let us now celebrate with our final our final song this morning, and let us sing it together joyfully.
know, I never knew what nuclear energy was. Does anybody know what nuclear energy is? Anybody know what nuclear energy is? Uranium, yes. But how does it work? Why is it so powerful? Anybody? George, can you give us your definition? Remember that definition you gave about what is so powerful about nuclear energy?
It wasn't my definition. It was Feynman's definition.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, in the nucleus, there are neutrons and protons. And protons are positive. So what do they want to do? They want to fly apart. The closer you push them like magnets, the more they want to go apart. So nuclear energy, nuclear force is the force that keeps the protons together. And that's why it's so strong.
The force that keeps protons together is so incredibly strong. Nuclear energy, something that at one time was absolutely impossible to think about. Within this vision that Jesus had, a new heaven, a new earth, heaven on earth, there is a power within that that is so powerful, it is impossible for us to imagine, but it is there. It is there. And when we lean into each other, and when we believe in the impossible, things can happen. So go from here to be the people of nuclear power. Go from here to be the people who harness and unharness the power of God's love and work out a world you could never imagine. May God's blessings be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.